Here, I think it will do no harm to comment upon the misunderstanding connected with the word artist. This word was also passed down to your contemporary favorites from the Babylonian epoch. Not as all the others were, that is, as empty words without any sense, but just as a distant echo of a word formerly used. You must know that at that time, the learned members of the club of the adherents of Legomenism were given a name by the other learned beings who were well disposed toward them, a name which they adopted for themselves and which your contemporary favorites would write as Orpheist. This word was formed from distinct roots of words then in use, which in contemporary times would signify right and essence. If someone was called that, it meant that he rightly sensed the essence. After the Babylonian period, this expression also passed automatically from generation to generation with almost the same meaning. But about 2 centuries ago, when certain beings with Hasnamusian tendencies began wiseacring about that empty word, art, and when various schools of art arose, and everybody considered himself a follower of one or another of these schools, then, since they did not understand the genuine meaning of the word art, and chiefly because one of these schools was named after a certain Orpheus, a figure invented by the ancient Greeks, they decided to coin a new word defining their vocation more exactly. So in place of the expression Orpheist, they invented the word artist, which was supposed to mean he who is occupied with art. In order that you may represent to yourself more clearly all the factors connected with this misunderstanding there, you must know, first of all, that before the second Transapalnian catastrophe, when these favorites of yours still prepared themselves for responsible existence normally, like all three-brain beings of our great universe, they had at their disposal for their speech, that is, for mutual intercourse through appropriate sounds intentionally uttered, and could pronounce up to 341 different consonances or letters. But later on, when thanks, as always, to the same conditions of ordinary being existence abnormally established by them, every property inherent in the presence of three-brain beings gradually deteriorated, this being-ableness also deteriorated, and at such a rate that the beings of the Babylonian period could use for their conversation only 77 definite sounds. And thereafter, the deterioration continued so rapidly that 5 centuries later, your favorites could pronounce at most only 36 different letters, and the beings of certain communities could not articulate even this small number of separate sounds. And so, my boy, information concerning the Babylonian period passed from one generation to another not only through what is called oral transmission, but also by means of markings on certain durable materials, that is, inscriptions, consisting of conventional signs or letters, which stood for different being sounds of that time. When at the beginning of the contemporary civilization, certain beings began to decipher these inscriptions, a bit here and a bit there, and realized that they could not pronounce many of these letters, they invented what is called a written compromise. This written compromise was that in place of every sign or letter which they could not pronounce, even though they sensed the flavor of its pronunciation, they decided to use a somewhat similar letter contained in their alphabet at the time, and so that everybody should understand that it was not that letter, but quite another, they always wrote beside it a letter of the ancient Romans, still existing, but already meaningless, called in English H, and by the contemporary French, H. From then on, all the rest of your favorites followed suit. Namely, to each of these suspicious letters they added this Roman inheritance. When this written compromise was invented, there were about 25 of these suspicious letters. But in the course of time, as their ability to pronounce deteriorated along with the increase of their wiseacring, the number of combined letters specially fabricated for such a being faculty diminished. And by the time the word artist was invented, only 8 of these combinations remained. And in front of this notorious H, they wrote letters, partly ancient Greek and partly Latin, which produced the following: the, f, g, ch, sh, k, d, and o. The basis for this misunderstanding I mentioned was the compromising sign f, ph. And this was so because this sign appeared both in the word by which the learned mysterists were designated and in the word which stood for a personality invented by the ancient Greeks, with whose name, as I have already said, one of their schools of art had been connected. The result was that the representatives of terrestrial art I spoke of, with their quite bobtailed reason, then thought that this word merely indicated the followers of the historical personality Orpheus. And since many of them did not consider themselves his followers, they invented the word artist in its place. As you see, not every legacy of the ancient Romans turned out to be maleficent, since in the present case their little letter H even became an inspiring factor for engendering in the presence of beings of subsequent generations, already without any initiative or ability of their own, the being power to substitute for the long-established expression Orpheus, this new word, artist. Here I must tell you about something very strange concerning this gradual atrophy in the presence of all the terrestrial three-brained beings there, of this being ableness to reproduce the sounds required for verbal intercourse. The point is that the deterioration of this capacity does not proceed at the same rate in the psychic and organic functioning of the planetary bodies of all the beings in every generation, but it alternates, as it were, at different times and on different parts of the surface of this planet, affecting at one time more the psychic and at another time more the organic part of the functionings of their planetary body. A very good illustration of what I've just said is afforded by the sensation of the taste and the capacity to pronounce two different sounds or letters known and used there by almost all the contemporary beings breeding on all parts of the surface of your planet and passed down to them by the ancient Greeks from times long past. These two letters were called by the ancient Greeks theta and delta. Here it's interesting to note that your favorites of very ancient times used these two letters in the formation of words having two quite opposite meanings. To be precise, they used the letter theta in words expressing ideas relating to the idea of good, and the letter delta in relating to the idea of evil, as, for example, theos, meaning God, and demonos, meaning demon. The meaning of these two letters, as well as the taste of their consonants, passed to all the beings of contemporary civilization, but for some reason or other, they indicated these two different letters having entirely opposite essences by means of one and the same sign, namely the sign TH. The beings of a large contemporary community called Russia, however hard they try, cannot pronounce these two letters at all. Yet they are clearly aware of their difference, and whenever they have to use them in words expressing a definite idea, even though the sounds they make do not correspond to these letters in the least. They sense the difference between them correctly and never use one letter for the other. On the contrary, the beings of the contemporary community called England still pronounce both these letters in almost the same way as the ancient Greeks, but they sense no difference in them. And for words of entirely opposite meanings, they employ without the least embarrassment one and the same conventional sign in the form of their famous TH. For instance, when beings of that contemporary England utter their favorite and frequently used expression, thank you, you can clearly hear the ancient letter theta. And when they pronounce the no less common word there, you hear quite definitely and distinctly the ancient letter delta. But for both these letters, they make use without any remorse of the same pan-paradoxical TH.